It seems like just yesterday when I captured my son's first steps or when we recorded his soccer games on VHS tapes. Those moments are gone. But the old home movies and pictures don't need to be. That's why my son created Legacy Box.
That's right, Mom. Over a million families have used Legacy Box to digitally preserve their old home movies and photos.
Simply fill Legacy Box with your old camcorder tapes, film, and photos. They will professionally digitize and send them back on DVDs, thumb drive, or the cloud.
With Mother's Day around the corner, it's the perfect time to get your Legacy Box and save your family's history. After all, few things are as important as protecting your precious memories. Give your mom a Mother's Day present she'll never forget. Take advantage of our Mother's Day sale, which starts now. It's our best deal of the year. Save up to 60% off. Visit legacybox.com/keepsake, and for a limited time, get an incredible 60% off your order. That's legacybox.com/keepsake for 60% off. legacybox.com/keepsake.
It seems like just yesterday when I captured my son's first steps or when we recorded his soccer games on VHS tapes. Those moments are gone. But the old home movies and pictures don't need to be. That's why my son created Legacy Box.
That's right, Mom. Over a million families have used Legacy Box to digitally preserve their old home movies and photos.
Simply fill Legacy Box with your old camcorder tapes, film, and photos. They will professionally digitize and send them back on DVDs, thumb drive, or the cloud.
With Mother's Day around the corner, it's the perfect time to get your Legacy Box and save your family's history. After all, few things are as important as protecting your precious memories. Give your mom a Mother's Day present she'll never forget. Take advantage of our Mother's Day sale, which starts now. It's our best deal of the year. Save up to 60% off. Visit legacybox.com/keepsake, and for a limited time, get an incredible 60% off your order. That's legacybox.com/keepsake for 60% off. legacybox.com/keepsake.
Hello, Full Circle Chat listeners. Before we dive into today's conversation, we would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, the Full Circle Chat Store. If you are looking to elevate your wardrobe or find the perfect gift, we offer a curated collection of premium items designed with you in mind. From cozy hoodies and stylish tote bags to sleek mugs and unique accessories, there is something for everyone. Explore our exclusive range of men's and women's apparel, all crafted for quality and comfort. Visit FullCircleChatShop.com today to shop, support the podcast, of course, and discover your next favorite piece. Now let's get into the episode. Cody Chen is a mother of three, business owner, and a licensed cosmetologist with over 20 years of experience, as well as the proud wife of a combat Army veteran. Born in East Texas and rooted in Faith, Texas, she embodies the grit, independence, and freedom that define the Texas spirit. Elected in June of 2024 as Faith City Council member for Place One, Cody stepped into public service to be a bold voice for citizens, fighting government outreach, defending parental rights, and ensuring residents, not bureaucrats, are heard. She has championed transparency, fiscal responsibility, public safety, and leadership that puts people over politics. Cody believes in direct, accessible communication the people she serves, whether in person or online, making herself available to residents without barriers. While many officials limit engagement to formal meetings, Cody is committed to meeting citizens where they are and ensuring every voice has the opportunity to be heard. Known for her no-nonsense approach, she has earned a reputation as a fearless advocate for the community, willing to challenge the status quo and demand accountability. Now facing a May 2nd, 2026 recall election, Cody stands firm, believing the effort is driven by insiders threatened by her independent voice. Backed by strong community support, she remains committed to defending the voters' voice and the principles that keep Texas strong. From City Hall to family life, Cody brings straight talk, real-world experience, and an unwavering commitment to liberty, sharing the truth about the fight for local control, parental rights, and the future of our community. I love people over politics. Coda Chan, welcome to the Full Circle Chat.
Hi, how is everybody?
I'm doing fantastic. It is an honor to have you on.
Thank you.
And I want to dive right in, right? Just kind of want to start with, before you stepped into public office, you were a wife, mother of three.
Still am.
Still am. That's right. And a business owner. So really want to start with how these life experiences for you shape your perspective on community and leadership.
Sure. So first and foremost, I'm a wife and a mother. And I think that that really is where everything starts with me. My priorities are definitely family. And when I got into politics, they were my motivation, protecting them, veterans, children, people that cannot protect themselves. I knew that they needed someone who would advocate for them. And I could see that sitting on the sidelines. And so I saw a good fight and I dove right in. My business experience, I've been a hairstylist for 20 plus years. So I'm good with people. I know people. I'm good at communicating with people, all different types of people, all different religions, all different ethnicities, different political backgrounds. I can talk to anybody about anything. And you just kind of learn to navigate when you're a hairstylist. You learn how to have a conversation with anybody. And so those experiences have really helped me in my political, I guess you would call it a career, or my journey here. You know, it's really helped me and shaped me for the better, I think, because I'm able to have a conversation with anybody. And I don't judge people because they feel differently than me. I'm open to listening to other perspectives. And I think that that has served me very well in the role that I have right now, serving on city council for the City of Faith.
Yeah. And I can, from experience and being around you, I can vouch for that, right? That openness, right? Like my kids have been around you.
Yeah.
And the way you have this ability to make people comfortable because you operate from a place of authenticity and transparency that that's rare these days. So, and I'm just speaking from personal experience. So, like, for you, what you're doing for the community is it's different, it's foreign, but it's what's needed.
Yeah.
And I am honored to have you on and to be a part of that journey, however I can help support that, because what you're fighting for is powerful when it comes to children that can't speak up for themselves.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know why I'm getting emotional, but you know, the underdog.
Yeah.
You know, people don't really fight too hard for the underdog, but you're doing that. You've done that consistently, and I've seen that. But I really want to touch on what led you to run for city council. Like before, like what's the thing, or maybe you can share a story or something that led you down that path.
Yeah, so I kind of got involved in politics by accident during 2020, during the COVID crisis. I was one of those crazy moms that went to all the school board meetings. And whenever Greg Abbott lifted the mask mandate, I advocated for the school districts also lifting the mask mandate. At the time, my oldest was in sixth grade, and he had a sixth grade graduation, because they graduate on to middle school in Rockwall County Rockwall ISD. So they graduate, and I wanted my son to not be wearing a face mask when he got to walk across his stage at his elementary school. And so I was advocating for that. And so I got involved in that way. And actually, it was my husband who, he went before the school board at the time back in 2021. And he actually had some videos that went viral. And I think that people were just kind of craving that authenticity and that transparency that you were talking about. And so people at that time, they started to pay attention. based on more of my husband's content than anything that I said. And, you know, it was really cool because a lot of people started taking notice and they reached out to us, and we just started getting more locally involved in the political scene. I was actually in the city of Rockwall at the time. And so shortly after that, we ended up buying a house in Fayette. And one of the things that kind of spurred me on to pay attention to the city of Fayette and the things that were going on was there was a pimp from California that had come, and he had moved into Wood Creek in our neighborhood in Fayette. And I live there, and maybe you do too. I think you do.
Yeah, I live in Fayette.
Yeah. Well, in Wood Creek. There was a sex offender that had come, and he had moved into the area. And at the time, he was seeking an exemption so that he could stay within the 2,000-foot child safety zone. And when I caught wind of it, I'm just a regular mom, and somebody had posted about it online. Actually, it was one of my fellow city council member. His name's Mark Harper, and now he's my I would call him my council bestie. he's been great since the very beginning. But he had posted about it as a private citizen, and I saw his post, and I didn't know him at the time, but it let me know that there was an issue, and that the city council was deciding whether or not they were going to allow this sex offender to stay and grant him his exemption. And so they also were discussing whether or not that 2,000-foot safety zone would be shrunk to 1,000 feet. And I absolutely had a problem with that, right? Yeah. As a mom with three children, and at the time, very young. You know, now my kids are a little bit older, but I still have – my youngest is a 10-year-old. So obviously that's very important to me, and it's, you know, it's a little girl. So knowing that there was somebody who had – committed these crimes against children that was going to be living within the same subdivision as me, knowing that they were trying to change that child safety zone, I decided that's not going to work for me. And I went to the city council meeting, and I also posted about it a whole bunch. And we packed out City Hall. It was so crowded that they had to there was no sitting room, and there were people that were actually in the overflow watching. And there were lines of people signed up to make public comments. And it was really inspiring to see the community engage and them stand up, you know, for the children.
That's right.
And I think that it was that meeting that made me decide that I was going to do more than just speak and make public comments. At the time, you know, they did not want me to speak. They tried to silence me from being able to speak for a full 3 minutes. And because I understand state law and I know that public comments are supposed to be 3 minutes, yeah. I was like, absolutely not. I'm going to finish my 3 minutes. And, you know, they tried to have the police come and you know, tell me that I needed to sit down. And I was like, that's literally not happening. I'm going to speak for my full 3 minutes.
Right.
And so I was like, I backed the blue. Love you so much, but I'm going to continue until I finish my 3 minutes. And because I knew those rules, I had timed my speech. I knew how long it was. I wrote everything out. I think that's pretty much how I got focused on the city of Fayette, definitely. I think that people just saw that and they were like, who's this crazy redhead? You know, like, she doesn't act scared of, you know, speaking. She doesn't act scared of the politicians, the elected officials. And I don't know. I think that's why people kind of, they focused in on me. And at the time, there was a lot of people that reached out and they were like, hey, have you ever thought about, you know, running for city council? And I was like, honestly, no, I've never thought about running for any office. I'm really an activist, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, at the heart of who I am, I believe in using the freedom that I have afforded to me with the Constitution and the First Amendment, and I always use that. And so I really wasn't thinking about running for office, but once I realized that there was a need and that the person that was currently serving was running again, I decided, you know, I think it's time for a change. I think it's time to move in a different direction. And so that's what I did.
You know, as I listen to you, what jumps out at me is fearlessness. And I admire that, right? That's something that I'm intentional about showing my kids, right, through just being and having them be curious and asking questions versus just accepting whatever it is that, you know, you've been told. You can ask your mom or me questions to better understand what's going on. And I believe that just helps sharpen that fearlessness, because that's you think about just the systems in place, right? When you think about politics, all that stuff, there's a lot of fear mongering. There's a lot of people like the, you know, law enforcement, you're supposed to be afraid of that, but you've never had that, Cody. Like from my experience.
Yeah, I mean, I think I have the fear just like everybody else.
Okay.
But I also understand my rights as an American, and I believe in them. I believe that rights are God-given. They're not government-given. And for me, if I'm empowered by God, the government can't stop me, no matter how scared I may be. That's how I feel.
Ooh, that's, see, that right there, you believe it's God-given, not government-given.
And it is.
And that aligns with me and my beliefs.
Yeah.
Like, you're right, if God is behind you, there's nothing, there's no
plan. Who can
be
against you?
There's no unseen hands that's behind, that could stop what he already ordained.
That's right.
So I agree with that 1,000%. And I kind of want to take you back a little bit to May of 24 when you got elected, right? How did you feel after you got expected? Did you have expectations going into it, right? Like, and what you actually experienced up to this point, did it match the expectations?
Yeah, so in 2024, I had to go into a runoff election. I think I missed the so there were I had two opponents, and in the city of Fayette, you have to win by 50.1%. And so because I had two opponents, you have to beat both of them by a majority. And so I had to go into a runoff. I won, but I won by 49.8%. So I had to go into a runoff, and I think I missed it by like 5 votes. It was something crazy like that. Yeah. So if you're listening to this, go vote. It matters. Even 5 votes.
It does.
They matter. I'm sorry. What was the question? All the question again.
No, it's just so I really want to. So back then,
oh,
when
the
you got
expectations.
Elected,
I'm sorry. Okay, so my expectation. I guess the biggest expectation was that after the election, that was the pinnacle. That was like when the journey ended, right? You know, when you're running for election, you can't see anything past election day. And I think that was the biggest shocker for me, is that there's so much work to be done once you get elected. And the people that get you elected, they don't always stay your friends. They don't always stay your supporters. You have to continue to earn their support every day.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and then there's a lot of other forces and things that go on behind the scenes that are not things that you expect. You know, people that have these huge political aspirations, whereas I'm just a mom, a hairstylist, a wife. I'm not looking at this to become state rep or the president or anything like that. You know, I am looking at this as I'm truly just trying to fill a gap where it's needed, because parents and people like me, I feel, don't have representation, just younger, regular folks. And I'm not too young, but comparatively speaking to the representation that we had on council at the time, and certainly now too, I fit the demographic of the city that I live, whereas there's many people that have served, and they're, you know, they're older, and it's fine to have them represented, but we also needed that representation, right? And so I think that there were a lot of people who, they liked me in the beginning. They liked me in the beginning because my opinions matched with theirs. And I think that a lot of times people believe that because your opinions match with theirs right now, that they're always going to match. And I think that they expect that when you're younger, when you're a woman, that they can also manipulate you. They can control you. They can tell you how to vote. They can tell you what circles you're allowed to run in. They can tell you who you can and can't meet with. And for me, being who I am and being somebody who believes that it's God who gives me my power, I don't care about these arbitrary rules that some people in politics tried to place on me.
That's right.
And the second that I bucked that system that they had put around me, they decided they didn't want me in office anymore, which is why we're now in a recall election, because it's the same group of political operatives that asked me to run that are now seeking my recall.
So let me I want to clarify something, right?
Sure.
So this group of individuals helped you get into this role.
I wouldn't say helped. I feel like they asked, right?
They asked, okay.
They definitely asked before I decided to run. I wouldn't say that they necessarily had a lot of power. I think that a lot of people saw me on my way up, and they tried to attach themselves to that.
God,
because they recognized, you know, they recognized that I was on the way up and that people were listening. And I think now the same thing that attracted them to me is terrifying them.
I'll tell you this from personal experience. I've experienced something similar. Mm-hmm. So what happens is you're navigating this world with this light. You know, God has orchestrated a path for you that's above what a lot of people around you can really see for themselves. So what happens is now they have they orchestrate these plans to tear it down, to block that light, to stop it. But that's God's plans.
Yeah.
You can't stop another man or woman's destiny
because
of the things you're doing behind the scenes. And you're going to have to, at some point, answer to that. Those actions you're taking, you will answer to them when it comes to the eyes of God.
Yeah.
So when it comes to living and leading with integrity, whether it's in front of you or behind you, that's something that I live by. I love the fact that the way you've handled it. These people they're doing things, and you know it's not based on truth.
No, it's not.
Right? It's not based on facts. It's just based on what they're conjuring up just to destroy another human being and their reputation and what they have going on.
Sure.
And I see stuff like that happen. It's happened to me. And I think God says to me to be still, to continue to be honest, to be transparent, to tell the truth.
Yeah.
And I see you doing that.
Yeah.
And it's going to work out exactly how it's supposed to.
Like, absolutely.
We have faith in that. But I do want to talk about, you know, you being involved with public service and having a family.
Mm-hmm.
That's not easy.
No.
Cody. So how do you balance that? Like, how do you, what's the secret?
I don't think there is a secret. If there is a secret, it's just prayer. It's surrounding yourself with good people, honest people, people that are willing to tell you the truth when you've made a mistake. And they're also willing to support you when you're telling the truth, even when it is something that a lot of people look at and they're scared to talk about. There's been a lot of times where I've had to come out publicly and make statements that a lot of people, as politicians for certain, would not have gone down the path that I did. But I've always just respected the truth. I've respected honesty. And I wish sometimes that I could, for my family's sake, definitely, that I could tone it down a little or, you know, ignore certain things, because that's kind of the mold that the world wants you to be in. But at the same time, I have to believe that my kids definitely, they see their mom fighting for something that means something. And even if that does take some of my time away from them, and it certainly does, they can respect that. And that they'll learn that it's important to fight for what's right. No matter what's going on in the world, if you fight for what's right, you're able to go to bed at night, right? You're able to get down on your knees, and you're able to talk to your maker, and you can come to him with a clean heart.
That's right.
As opposed to feeling like, oh, I knew about this, but I kept quiet. that hasn't been my style. It has made people feel uncomfortable, and I understand that a lot of people aren't like me, but I think that people like me are needed in these roles. I do believe that.
I agree, and I can see the shift that's happening. It's slow and steady, but it's happening. Individuals like yourself getting in these roles and staying in these roles for longer terms, you're able to be the example that these other people need to see. Yeah. Of what's different. We live in the world where it's just do what everyone's doing. Let's not rattle,
right?
You know, the cage.
Right.
Let's just do it and just get this. It's always what we can get from this and that. And for you to stand firm, that's my motto in life. Like I've been through. It's been an interesting 2025 and 2026 for me. Mm-hmm. But one thing about me, I'm going to stand firm in truth.
Yeah.
Regardless of what's being said, regardless of the narrative that's being spun, I'm going to stand with the truth.
Right.
And the God, Jesus Christ, is my Lord and Savior that I worship, understands what that is.
Yeah.
And he's always going to be there. No man or no woman can shift that.
Amen.
And it, for me, eventually, I would love to be in a position to do that, to pour back into a community like you're doing.
Yeah.
I'm going to position myself to do that because I believe we need more people like that, that regardless of what's being done, the noise that's being made, the attempts to stop you through all these lies and manipulations, you stand firm and you keep moving forward.
That's right.
But I love that. So you've been described as taking like a nonpartisan approach to local government, right? How would you define your leadership style and how you work with people who may see things differently?
Yeah. So I'm absolutely a conservative. I historically vote Republican, but that doesn't mean that I can't respect other people. And, you know, there's this famous saying that everybody says on city council, potholes aren't red or blue, right? They're not left or right. They're not Republican or Democrat. And that's one of those sayings that I roll my eyes at this point because it's overused. But there's some truth to it, right? There are things that transcend partisan divides. And even though I am a conservative, I can sit down, and I have, with numerous people on opposite sides of the fence, and I talk to them, and we discuss their problems. And I think that the overlap with the left and the right, the Republicans and the Democrats on a local level, is when it comes to infrastructure, when it comes to things like local control, when it comes to economic developments, when it comes to taxes. You know, for the most part, no matter what political party you're aligned with, you agree on those things. And so what I have chosen to do is whenever I sit down with somebody who has an opposing view, maybe on a national level, I focus on local issues. I focus on things that interest all of us because I'm not a national politician. I don't need to agree with you on abortion rights. I don't need to agree with you on anything to do with LGBTQIA. I don't need to agree with you on environmental stuff. I mean, maybe at a local level, but there's all these huge issues, and we tend to get distracted by these huge issues. But then the issues that affect us in our day-to-day lives, like the things that are going on in your own city, we ignore that. And I think that it shows in the leadership,
right?
Because we have a lot of people who are just there to further their political career, and they don't care at all about the people that they represent at the local level. And I have chosen the opposite approach. Even if I don't agree with you on things like abortion or whatever the case may be, I can still talk to you about streets. I can talk to you about economic development. I can talk to you about taxes. I can talk to you about mud districts and things of that nature. And I can try to explain it in the best way that I can. And one of the things that I think that has really attracted to people on the left to me is that there's no one else in office that will actually have a conversation with them online. I am pretty much, and I mean, there may be others that occasionally will have a conversation with you online, or they may post something online, but it's very official, right? I'm not like that. I will just talk to you. I will talk to you like a plain resident. I don't need to assert myself as this higher authority that knows everything, but I communicate. I'm willing to communicate whatever the agenda item is, whatever it is that we're about to talk about at the next meeting, or say we voted on something and the vote was hard and people didn't like the vote. I am the one that is.
It seems like just yesterday when I captured my son's first steps, or when we recorded his soccer games on VHS tapes. Those moments are gone. But the old home movies and pictures don't need to be. That's why my son created Legacy Box.
That's right, Mom. Over a million families have used Legacy Box to digitally preserve their old home movies and photos.
Simply fill Legacy Box with your old camcorder tapes, film, and photos. They will professionally digitize and send them back on DVDs, thumb drive, or the cloud.
With Mother's Day around the corner, it's the perfect time to get your Legacy Box and save your family's history. After all, few things are as important as protecting your precious memories. Give your mom a Mother's Day present she'll never forget. Take advantage of our Mother's Day sale, which starts now. It's our best deal of the year. Save up to 60% off. Visit legacybox.com/keepsake, and for a limited time, get an incredible 60% off your order. That's legacybox.com/keepsake for 60% off. legacybox.com/keepsake.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Willing to come in and do a video and be like, okay, so I understand what you were thinking. And listen, I had those same thoughts too when they were presenting to me. But this is why I came to that conclusion. It doesn't necessarily mean that I completely disagree, but there was just something there that made me vote differently than you did. And so I think when you're able to have that conversation with people, people respect it. And even people who disagree with you respect it. And I think that that is what has kind of separated me from some of the other people that I serve with.
I love that. Because you just touched on like transparency and how you engage the community. Yeah. That's
directly.
Huge. Yeah. So why do you think people have to create this facade and barrier to seem like, oh man, I'm super important. Before you could talk to me, you have to go through these channels. Why do you think that is, specifically in politics, especially local politics?
Yeah, you know, I can't really figure that out. I don't look at myself as being so important that I can't have a conversation. And it is very weird to me that there are so many people in politics that feel so high and mighty that they won't even respond to a comment on Facebook. That doesn't make sense to me. If I know the answer and I am legally capable, you know, there's certain things that we're not allowed to talk about if it's an executive session. Those are privileged conversations. But if this is something that we just discussed at a meeting, or it's something that's coming up on a future meeting,
yeah,
I don't have a problem with talking about it. And I can't get into their minds and figure out why it is that they continue to separate themselves from the citizens that they claim to represent. That's not my style.
That's right. And I admire that. But so when you think about public leadership, that comes with support and then it comes with criticism.
Mm-hmm.
How, from your perspective, have you handled the different opinions, the different perspectives, and just the different realities that come at you, Cody?
Well, the truth doesn't have a reality.
Say that again.
The truth does not have a reality. The truth is the truth. And so if you cling to truth, whether it's someone's opinion or their reality or whatever the case may be, then you're good. And that's just what I've done.
This is fantastic. That, like, I just got chills. That response, I think, resonates across the world.
Yeah.
In whatever you choose to engage in, whatever sector you're a part of, whatever pop, the truth, you don't have to remember it.
No.
Right?
You're right. The truth does not have to be remembered because it simply is. But a lie, you have to remember the lie that you told. And so if I just continue remembering the truth, like if for instance for today, you know, a little behind the scenes for podcasters, right? You send questions and, you know, you could write out a script, you could study, zero prep. I don't need to prepare
That's right.
to tell the truth. It is. The yeah. truth just simply is. And so I come in, you ask questions, and I give an honest response, and we're all good. And I just, that's the same way that I have conversations online with residents. It's the same way that I legislate, if you want to call it that, whenever I'm voting, whenever I'm speaking from, you know, the dais. I just tell the truth. Whatever the truth is, I just state it.
So, like, as you say that, I think about, like, right now around you, your colleagues, mm-hmm. city council, I don't know what the terms are.
Yeah.
How many, from your perspective, people, you can just give like a percentage, do you feel really, because I believe if you can get 100% of to operate the way you do, Cody, we'll see some real changes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like you're right now like on an island by yourself? Or do you feel like there's people that are actually trying to make the same honest waves that you're doing, that you're making?
Yeah, I think that there are other city council members that tell the truth. I think that they don't necessarily do it directly the way that I do. We have different styles, and that's okay. I prefer my style, and this is the kind of elected official I would want to have, as somebody that I could write, somebody that I could call, somebody that I could text, you know, but not everybody's like that, right? And I have to respect their approach, and the voters get to decide how they want their city council member to behave, how they want their city council to communicate. I want my city council member to communicate the way that I do. And so that's the reason that I choose to communicate that way. But I don't necessarily disparage anybody else for having that approach. I think that there's other ways to communicate, but I prefer this one for sure.
Yeah.
I don't think that people should have to go to a city council meeting in order to have their voice heard. There's a lot of people that can't make it out on Mondays at 6 o'clock,
yeah.
right? And you should be able to write them. You should be able to make a public comment. And I mean publicly, like on social media or something like that, and get a response. That's my feeling. But I do feel like there is at least one other council member that I'm serving with. Like I told you, my council bestie.
Yeah.
He's a very honest man. And when I was running for office, we did not like each other. We did not get along. But we still sat down and talked, and we disagreed on things. And then once I got on council, he was the only person who offered to sit down and go over the budget with me. And I mean, the budget book, it's really thick.
Yeah.
And it's the first thing that you do when you get into office. So it's very overwhelming as somebody who had never served and had never dealt with, you know, multi-million dollar budgets. So I was very appreciative, and I always respected the fact that he was willing to sit down with me, even though we didn't have nice things to say about each other
yeah.
when I was on the campaign trail in 2024. So our relationship and our friendship developed after that, because I started to understand that I could come to him and I could tell him, hey, I don't agree with this, but explain to me why you came to that decision, right? And so we just kind of, we got together and we hashed it out. And you know, still to this day, we don't agree with each other on every vote, right? I don't prepare my votes and say, hey, Harper, what are you doing on Monday? But I know that I have somebody who has really thought about the decisions that he's making. And he, I think, believes that I've really thought about them as well. And there's sometimes that we'll talk about it after the fact. And still, there's nothing but respect, you know?
Yeah.
I vote one way, he votes another way. But we both respect that we came to different conclusions and why we came to those conclusions.
I admire that quality. I'll tell you why. Is because I come from a background. I have not been able to experience that. Once you don't agree from what I've experienced, it turns into chaos, right? Because the expectation is for Christian to just come along, agree along. But you're able to work with someone. You have two different opinions, two different perspectives. But the respect, the mutual respect, still there.
Yeah.
And you know, like, so right now I'm in the season of my life where I'm attracting those type of people, right? Where we can agree on certain things, but yeah. we can also disagree. But it doesn't, the relationship's still intact because mm-hmm. there's a mutual respect there. I haven't always, and this is brand new for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't always been this way. And what that does, it creates this dysregulation of my nervous system because I feel like if I don't agree with this person, they might now turn it into something else and it explodes. And for you, I can tell you've done a lot of work around that, right? Because you're able to sit in a room, have a conversation with someone you don't agree.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little bit of discomfort there, but you guys are able to get to a point, a stopping point, and the respect's still there.
Mm-hmm.
That's an adult.
Yeah. Well, ideally on council, you don't want 7-0 votes. Right?
That's right.
Because if you have a 7-0 vote, everyone's not being represented. I mean, on certain things, right? You're passing a consent agenda. It's not that big of a deal. 7-0 is pretty normal, right? But if you have like a big decision coming up on city council, I prefer that it's not a 7-0. Because to me, that means that everybody in the community was represented somewhere, right? Because you have a lot of our votes might be contentious. And some people look at that and like, oh my gosh, the city council is fighting. We're debating.
That's right.
And America was founded on those principles, the principles of debate.
Yes.
And so in my mind, we would be doing a disservice if every single time we got together, we just sat around, smiled, nodded, and agreed with each other. We have to represent our constituents, and our constituents are not all the same. Our constituents are not voting 7-0,
yeah,
right?
That's right.
They all have different opinions, and they all deserve to be represented. And so I am not afraid to have a disagreement, and I look at it as an opportunity almost, because there's a lot of times when we have conversations, and maybe there's a different perspective. Maybe it's not even mine. But if I hear somebody else having a different perspective, that can shift my opinion, right? Not somebody who's so staunchly one way or another that I can't respect that somebody else may have thought of something that I haven't. And so I look at everything as an opportunity, even if it's contentious, even if there's a debate, even if things get a little crazy at a meeting, as long as we don't call each other names and we are able to do it in a respectful manner, I think that that's fine. And thus far, you know, there's a lot of people that talk about my online social media content, but no one is ever pointed to a meeting in which they thought that I acted unprofessionally. I've always, once I get up there and I get behind a microphone, I am professional. That is my job.
Yeah.
That is the title that I was elected to have. And so I look at that and I think how blessed I am to be in this role. And I just look at it like I have to rise to a different level, right?
Yeah.
Whenever I'm in that official capacity, I have to behave in a certain way. Social media, I'm regular Cody. But when I am up there, I'm always professional. I don't call people names. And if nothing else, I'm polite. But I can be firm, and I can get my point across. But I think I'm entitled to do that. Right?
Yeah. Do you know what I hear? Is I don't see that much of a difference. Like, you know, you're built to operate in your official capacity.
Mm-hmm.
You know what to do. You follow the process, the
For
rules,
sure.
which I'm the same way, right? But you're still doing what you do on social media, Cody. You're
For
honest.
Sure.
You're fighting for people that can't fight for themselves.
Right.
You're doing the exact same thing. You're, mm-hmm. you're making sure you – and that's why this position was meant and created for you.
Thank you.
We need more of that. In fate specifically,
mm-hmm.
because I live in fate,
mm-hmm.
and I've had experiences with different,
mm-hmm.
fate official, what do you call them?
leaders, state officials. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's interesting, to say the least. And I'm curious to learn more.
Yeah.
So when I think about you, think about what you're doing, and I want to now talk about the recall effort, right? Yeah. That's there's been like this recall that's scheduled to happen related to your seat currently, right? From your perspective, what has this experience been like for you, Cody? And what has it taught you about civic leadership?
Well, I will say that the recall itself from beginning to end has been hell. But I signed up for this. God would not have allowed me to be in this position if he hadn't prepared me and built me for it. So I'm going to take it on, even if it sucks a little bit doing it, right? And so I just look at it like it's a blessing and a curse. What was the second part of your question? I have ADHD.
Oh, no, you're fine. And like, so what has the experience been like? I get it.
It's been hell.
Let me tell you, Cody, you'll be surprised right now, the season, how similar what you're going through, what I'm going through is. But that's, but what has it taught you about civic leadership in general?
Yeah. Well, it's taught me that fans come and go. But honesty, integrity, those principles are everlasting. And so you have to cling to that. There's always going to be naysayers. There's going to be people who hate you, and you just got to get over it. You're not that special. Jesus had haters. I am too. And I'm certainly not Jesus. I'm not even close.
Jesus was betrayed.
He was. And right. And I will say there's been a lot of that behind the scenes as well. But you know, there's no book in the Bible about Judas, right? He betrayed Jesus, but he didn't write a book, right?
That's right.
There were other apostles that did though, right?
That's so right.
My haters don't get to write my story.
That's right. That's right. And I love that, man. And you like so I'll tell you how I frame what you just said. Mm-hmm. People don't try to destroy people that are not doing anything.
That's true.
You're doing something.
Right.
God has you on the path to really make changes and make waves. And that's why these people that can't show their faces, they go behind the scenes, hide and plan and plot. And do these things to stop Cody Chen from a conflict. But you're not God and you can't stop it.
No.
It's because you're doing something. You operate with a light in this world that people wish they had, which they have access to God themselves. They have access to Jesus Christ.
Sure.
But it takes a lot of work to do that. But they want to instead put the effort into planning to stop your light, to stop my light. Mm-hmm. That's the approach that people choose. Right. And I don't want, I don't want to go too deep into that stuff, but it just resonates to what you're talking about. Right. And what you're doing, because you're telling the truth, and the truth, like you said, doesn't have to be remembered.
Right.
So if people know this, why would you fight truth? Right. And these are questions that come up for me, but I want to touch on some of the lessons that you've learned in leadership. Right, because you think about the time you've had in office so far. We know what's coming up, but what lessons have you learned in communication specifically that you can share with us? What lessons have you learned in resilience? What lessons have you learned? And you serve, from my perspective, such a diverse community. Mm-hmm. What lessons have you learned from serving a diverse community?
I think the number one lesson that any elected official should learn is humility, and that you're not that important and you can be replaced at any time. And I certainly can too. But I think that when you communicate directly with people, they respect it. So if there's any lesson that I've learned, it's just to communicate. Communicate with the actual voters. Communicate on a daily basis. Let them know your why. Why did you vote this way? Why did you make this statement? Why did you make this post? Why did you make this video? I just give people my why, and they can either respect it or they can hate it. And I just take everything in stride, and I allow people to be themselves because I ask other people to allow me to be myself, right? And so if somebody comes up to me and they say mean things to me, it's okay. It's okay. It's their right. They're an American.
Yeah.
They get to tell me if they don't like something that I've done. And you're not allowed to take that personally as an elected official. You still have to be humble. You still have to say, well, thank you and God bless. I'll take that under consideration, yeah. Right? And not even in a dismissive way, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and sometimes you almost have to do that in a way in order to not get truly emotional and affected by it. But at the same time, you should listen to your naysayers if they're saying something that you did and it has merit. There's some people that just don't like me, and
yeah.
I don't have to listen to those people. But there's other people that I may have done something, right? I may have voted a certain way. It's my job to explain that.
Yeah.
I have to do that as an elected official. I don't get to get annoyed by explaining why I did something in my official capacity. Now, if somebody wants to criticize what I post online that has nothing to do with the city of fate, I don't have to listen to that. Or I can, whatever. But as far as in my official capacity, what I do as a city council person, I need to be willing to be humble. I need to be willing to listen. And those are the biggest takeaways that I've received since getting in office, is that everybody deserves to be heard. Everybody deserves to be listened to, even the people that I don't agree with. It doesn't mean that I have to change. It doesn't mean that I'm not principled or convicted, or that I have to apologize for something that I have done or a vote that I have made, but I do have to listen and I do have to explain my why. And so I've held true to that since getting in office.
I'm intrigued by like some of the things that you describe. What does Cody Chin do to really refine these skill sets that you have? Because it's impressive.
I don't know that I've done anything to refine. I don't call them skills, honestly. I think, like I said, I think that God placed me where I am. And so some of this just really comes natural, right?
Yeah.
And because I don't try to be a politician, because I don't pander and posture and I don't fake the funk depending on who's in front of me, I wing it, you know? If I'm in a room where everybody's smarter than me, I observe. Because these people are smarter than me. And I think that's okay. I don't always have to talk. I don't always have to have something to say. Sometimes I can just sit back and I can observe the room because there's stuff for me to soak in, right?
Yeah.
And so I've learned to do that as well. And that's kind of been a cool part of this process because I've learned a lot about the way city governments work. And I've learned a lot about the way that they interact with other governments, county and state and even national, federal. So, you know, I'm happy to absorb knowledge, and I think I've done it pretty well. I think I've grown a lot since 2024 when I got elected. I've learned a lot, and I've learned a lot about myself, but I've learned a lot about the way that other people are, and that's been enlightening and a little scary. To learn the way what people are willing to give up for power and influence. We don't get paid but $50 a meeting. So it's not as if, you know,
I'm not laughing at this.
We're making bank off of
I'm sorry.
We're not making bank off
yeah.
of the off of this position
yeah.
or off of this title, right? But there are people who I believe would eat their own arm to stay in that position. They just eat it right off because they want that power, they want that influence. And
yeah.
I think that one of the reasons why people are so threatened by me is that I had the influence before I ever got in office.
That's right.
I had a following. That's why people were coming to meetings when I would post about it. That's why people were reaching out to me. Hey, did you hear about this happening? We need you to show up at this meeting. We need you to talk about this. Would you make a statement about this? This was all before I ever got on council.
That's right.
And so I think that there's people that are threatened by my presence, and they think that if they take away my title, they're going to take away my presence. But they didn't give me my presence, and they can't take that away. They can take my title on May 2nd, they're allowed to vote how they want to. They can vote against my recall and keep me in office, or they can vote for my recall and remove me, but they cannot remove my presence. They cannot remove what I have been ordained by God to have. That's what I say. It's not a skill set. I don't have a skill set. This is just who I am.
That's right.
And I don't know. I'm comfy being who I am, and I don't apologize for it.
As you look ahead, right, you're thinking about like a vision for the future, do you hope your service means for, let's say, Fate, Texas, for example, like, how do I frame this? Because I'm trying to, legacy, let's think about it from a legacy perspective, right? COVID's in office right now. When that's said and done, what impact do you hope to have in Fate, Texas? Because you say you're just doing this. I can see more, Cody. As I sit here and I listen to you, I can see you doing more. You talk about Senate. You talk about, I can see more. Because this is what we need today in this day and age. We need more of this. But what do you see?
You know, I don't know that I see an elected position in my future. I don't know that I see going further than city council. That's never really been my inspiration or my aspiration. I truly do look at this as a service. I know that sounds crazy to some people, but there is no benefit for me personally, as somebody who does not have higher aspirations or career goals, to be doing this right now. This has been one of the most painful processes of my life.
Wow.
But I'm still here, and I'm going to continue to do it. So I think when I look into the future, all that I can hope is that going forward, people who are elected to the exact same position that I'm in right now, they talk to the voters. They communicate with the voters. They don't try to operate behind some veil of secrecy and make everything look great on the outside. They don't put lipstick on the pig and try to make things look good from the outside. I'm not interested in that. When I ran, I said I was running to expose corruption. And I have since getting in on council. And sometimes people who expose corruption, they don't get to keep their elected title.
Mm.
And that's okay, because that may not be my purpose. I may just be the scab picker, the Band-Aid ripper. That may be my goal. That may be my purpose. And that's okay. I am here just to be myself and to encourage others when they get elected to also be themselves and to expose the rot that is the political system that we are living in. And we live in it not just at a national level and a state level. It's definitely countywide. It is definitely within our city. And for me, I am not comfortable with pretending that everything's okay when it's not. And so all I can hope is that even if I do get recalled, that there's somebody else that steps up. And they take that mantle and they run with it. And they continue to uproot the evil that exists within these political systems.
It's been an honor having you.
Yeah, thank you.
And I just want to give you a moment to, you know, share with the people when to vote, where to vote, how to support you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Coming up pretty soon, but the floor is yours.
Yeah. Okay, so I have a website. It's keepcody.com. If you want to find out more about my campaign, ways to assist, donate, ask for a sign, whatever the case may be, you'll learn about my platform there. Early voting starts on April 20th and goes through April 28th. And then the election is actually Saturday, May 2nd. I'm excited to just let the voters decide. Whatever happens on May 2nd, that's in God's hands, and I am at peace with whatever the voters
that's
decide.
Right.
And they're the ones that get to rehire me. They're the ones that get to fire me. And I'm good either way.
Hey, I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
Because like you said, God's plan is the right plan.
Yes, it is.
And the people will see. They'll see this and they'll speak to it. And, you know, you'll be able to hear from the people of faith
absolutely.
In the county. So
that's
it's been
what
a
I
pleasure
want.
Having you on.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of Full Circle Chat. We hope you enjoy the conversation. Remember, you can catch every episode on YouTube, as well as Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, and Spotify. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you never miss a new episode. And if you enjoyed today's show, be sure to leave us a review. It helps others find the podcast and also join the conversation. For updates and behind-the-scenes content, be sure to also follow us on Instagram. See you next time, and remember, let's keep that conversation going.
It seems like just yesterday when I captured my son's first steps or when we recorded his soccer games on VHS tapes. Those moments are gone. But the old home movies and pictures don't need to be. That's why my son created Legacy Box.
That's right, Mom. Over a million families have used Legacy Box to digitally preserve their old home movies and photos.
Simply fill Legacy Box with your old camcorder tapes, film, and photos. They will professionally digitize and send them back on DVDs, thumb drive, or the cloud.
With Mother's Day around the corner, it's the perfect time to get your Legacy Box and save your family's history. After all, few things are as important as protecting your precious memories. Give your mom a Mother's Day present she'll never forget. Take advantage of our Mother's Day sale, which starts now. It's our best deal of the year. Save up to 60% off. Visit legacybox.com/keepsake, and for a limited time, get an incredible 60% off your order. That's legacybox.com/keepsake for 60% off. legacybox.com/keepsake.
It seems like just yesterday when I captured my son's first steps or when we recorded his soccer games on VHS tapes. Those moments are gone. But the old home movies and pictures don't need to be. That's why my son created Legacy Box.
That's right, Mom. Over a million families have used Legacy Box to digitally preserve their old home movies and photos.
Simply fill Legacy Box with your old camcorder tapes, film, and photos. They will professionally digitize and send them back on DVDs, thumb drive, or the cloud.
With Mother's Day around the corner, it's the perfect time to get your Legacy Box and save your family's history. After all, few things are as important as protecting your precious memories. Give your mom a Mother's Day present she'll never forget. Take advantage of our Mother's Day sale, which starts now. It's our best deal of the year. Save up to 60% off. Visit legacybox.com/keepsake, and for a limited time, get an incredible 60% off your order. That's legacybox.com/keepsake for 60% off. legacybox.com/keepsake.